right. Hey, folks, good to see you tonight, and glad you're here. Just wanted to mention one thing we're doing different tonight for the singing. We're going to take two favorites. Page number, I need a page number. I'm going to cover some announcements, and then we're going to jump to it. And I just saw someone reach for their hymn book. So we're probably got one more we can take after that. Okay, Larry, you were first. What is it? That'll be the first one. Let me mention the men's or the guys' night out this Friday night. It's still a go. Unless the weather changes for Friday night, the pond has been freshly refilled as of this afternoon. And so we're going to be ready to go, Lord willing. We've given lots of new water and new breeding habitat for the mosquitoes. So they'll be all newly hatched and ready to go get us on Friday night. But please, guys, don't let this what happened today keep you away. We're still planning on it, unless it's going to be raining, and we'll call it then Friday morning or something. But here's where you can help me. Put your name on the list out there in the lobby so I know who to call Friday if we have to cancel it Friday morning even. So just put your name on the list. It's free. You're not going to be charged anything if you don't show up. We just need to know how much food to get on Friday. So please sign up so that way we'll know. And the kids' zoo trip that's coming up, if you have some small children or know of your friends have some small children or you've got some small children in the church somewhere, whatever the case is, well, you need a form filled out for that zoo trip. And so I just wanted to remind you, if you could pass that along, that parents need to get that form, permission form filled out for us. And that is on Saturday, June 22nd. The teenagers are having an activity Friday night as well, a photo scavenger hunt. I know I had asked Sunday if anyone could help with that. I think one person, and I'm not sure if they need some more other than that one person that said they could help. So please see one of them tonight before you leave, either one of the Burges or the Sherberts, and I know they'd be excited to have as many as possible to come and help. Let's go ahead and turn to page number 385. Number 385, we'll just sing that first and the last verse. Okay, we're going to sing Victory in Jesus next. I don't know the page number, but let's take a couple of praises while they're getting ready for that upstairs. Who has a praise they'd like to share? Yes, Debbie.
I just want to tell everybody Shelly's doing fantastic. She's going on with her procedures on Friday. She's going to have her final step, and everything is
doing great. Awesome. That is so good to hear. Yeah. Yeah, Kathy. Yes, yeah, absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Someone else? Okay, what's the page number? 353. If you need your hymn books, let's stand. We're going to sing Victory in Jesus, number 353.
I put an old
have a word of prayer together. Monty, would you pray tonight?
Lord, thank you for our church and being able to worship here without being thrown in prison. We pray for the ones that weren't able to come out, sick or whatever it may be. Bless them and heal the bodies. Thank you, Lord, for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We can go ahead and continue on with our praises. Anyone else have a praise they'd like to share? There are some listed there in the prayer bulletin. I know the Rick Lee's knee replacement actually has been postponed. So pray for pain control and a quick rescheduling for that surgery. But the Mankeys are praising the Lord that their daughter Angie is making some good recovery after her surgery. And as well, the co-worker for Jackie is recovering. It's good to see Steve continuing to recover. He's here again tonight. So we're excited about that. Someone else with a praise? Then, yes, Larry? That's right. Amen. Yeah. Joan?
I am just grateful we made it through the day.
Has it been one of those days for you? I'm picking up on that theme here tonight. I've heard some other people. It's been one of those days for Joan. Anyone else? Oh, my. Okay.
Got that off the list.
Yeah. Yeah, just today was the check. Today was the mark on the checklist. Today, over. Okay. Yeah, sometimes we have those days, that's for sure. Someone else? All right, Laura.
I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah.
And I feel like I missed April and most of May with ineptitude. They didn't know what was going on, caused other problems. And I'm telling you, when you feel good,
and you're sounding much better.
Yeah,
so that's good.
I'm having a really good day.
Oh, good. Good. Yes, Tina.
I'm thankful for the things that you gave me. Jesus, that's what I had all over. That Christians are in the yard. They all had a good time and stopped to do one more back.
Yeah.
We all had a good time, and I thank the Lord for getting him for putting all that together.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, they just got back from the Creation Museum and the Ark as well. Glad you all were able to do that in safety and all of those types of things there. Someone with a prayer request they'd like to mention. I want to point out a couple of things. Myra Wright, she's probably done with surgery by now, so we haven't heard any updates on that matter yet as far as how her heart surgery went. Hopefully you were able to pray for them today. Many, 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 many others were. And, I have a praise that I want to share with you. A friend of mine here in town, I know him through the sheriff's office. I've worked with him a few times. A young man, and he has a little girl that I didn't know this, but she's been having problems with her liver. And just saw this on Facebook just a few days ago. They were actually down at Barnes in St. Louis, a children's hospital. And it has been just a roller coaster for them. Something was attacking her liver, shutting it down, and they were hours away from a transplant one morning, just a day or two ago, and then all of a sudden the test came back normal, and I got a message from him earlier this afternoon. Praise the Lord, they're moving her out of intensive care and into common care, with what they call common care down there. So everything seems to be leveling out. She was in ICU for quite some time. And the doctors cannot explain it. Really? I'm excited for them as this young, mom and dad down there. But also excited just to hear him praising God on social media for how good God is, and just not being ashamed to say God did this, so I praise the Lord for that. Someone with a prayer request. Yes.
I want to pray for my friend Ken, Richard Young, who's been fighting with the insurance for a diabetic attachment that he needs, and they don't want to pay for it.
Oh, okay. All right. So most of you guys know Richie. He hasn't been here in a while. I know he's been helping some folks that are in need of some help. But he's diabetic, right? Yes. And he's needing a different type of apparatus for his diabetes. And the insurance company isn't paying for it. And we just need to pray with this family about that. So if you would make a note of that. Someone else. Yes.
Jackie has a friend that was here from Mississippi, and she left this afternoon to go back to Mississippi. So pray for her for safety.
Absolutely.
For the storms.
Yeah.
Her name's Tina.
Tina, okay.
And then I got kind of a phrase that I heard. It's about for somebody else. But a young man that went to the church we went to down south, Brother Jack, had led him to the Lord. He come to the church looking to thank Brother Jack and to let him know that he is involved in church still, working. He's got a family now. And Jack doesn't go to that church. He has his own church. So he went over to Jack's house and visited.
Wow.
But, to have somebody come back that you've led to the Lord, and they're still working, doing the Lord's work, it really is a blessing.
Oh, I can tell you, that's pretty exciting. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And those of you here that are teachers, Style hasn't been teaching long enough to experience this. But you older teachers, when they come back later and they say thank you, isn't that awesome? That is just really, none of you teachers have had that happen. Okay, never mind. No, I'm kidding. Style already has? Well, I guess that's long enough. Yeah, they grow up and they get a little older and they start realizing that you are pretty smart. Yeah, yeah, good. All right. One more prayer request. Yes, Bev, and then Linda.
We need to pray for Judy Nell, and I just got a text from her. She's quit the two jobs, and she's got one job here in Taylorville over at IGA, and she should be able to start coming back to church.
Yes, that's a prayer request. Like this Sunday is what the plan is.
Yes.
All right, good. Yes, pray for Judy. And Linda, you're next. Okay. Let's go ahead and set those to the side. I'm going to try something tonight. I'm going to try and do two Wednesday nights at one time. And hopefully we can go through this not too quickly, because I want to be clear, but I just don't want to break it up into two nights. There wasn't quite enough to go a second night. And our new screen operator upstairs got up there and said, 38 screens, this is a long one. Yes, it is. So hopefully you can order out, order in, whatever you need to do. But we're going to go ahead and get started. If you would, turn to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10. While you're turning there, let me mention, before I forget, I'd mentioned Sunday night during our communion service that there are 59 one-anothers in the New Testament. And I don't know if you had realized there was that many times where God spoke to us unified as one another in some form or fashion. I have a printout of that on the table in the lobby afterwards if you want to pick one up. And just go ahead and look them up, study through them. Let's go ahead and begin with our rewards that we're going to be getting at the judgment seat of Christ. What are they? What are these rewards? Revelation chapter 4, verse 10, it says this, "The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Okay, so there's this passage now in Revelation that talks about crowns, not just the crowns that are mentioned in the epistles that Paul wrote and we find in other parts of the New Testament. These crowns are actually being mentioned in heaven. And something's being done with those crowns. Did you see it? They're being thrown at Christ's feet. So, crowns. Let me ask this question. Is that literal? Are those actual crowns being referred to there in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10? Let's keep in mind, Revelation is prophecy, okay? And I don't want to get off onto a tangent as to what's literal, what's not literal in Revelation. But if we're going to interpret that verse as literal, would you not think that it would be fair to interpret the entire verse literal? That would be a fair standard of interpretation. If we interpret that verse literally, real literal crowns, then we have to look at the whole verse and, oh, sorry, only 24 people are going to be throwing crowns at Jesus' feet, according to that verse that we just interpreted literally. Let me give you some examples of other verses in Revelation. Revelation 2:17, it says, "To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna. I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows." Here's another verse, verse 26 of Revelation 2. "And he who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over nations." One more. "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore." If I'm confusing you, I'm not trying to. There's sometimes a debate over minutiae, details. What color was the horse? How many candlesticks? All of these things when we start talking about prophecy. And lots of words have been written and spoken and debates and discussions about the ins and outs of different things. If we, those three verses that I just read for you, from Revelation 2 and chapter 3 as well. In the first verse, if we have overcome, we will be given a white stone. If we interpret literally, we'll be given a white stone with a secret name on it. according to that verse, literally interpreting it. In the next verse, we're given authority over the nations. And in that third verse that I read, interpreted literally, we are made into a pillar in the temple. So what I'm suggesting here is this all seems kind of strange if we throw literal interpretation at all of it. These verses, let's look at them as a whole. They speak of special privileges that are being given to the overcomer. So the rewards from Revelation 4, are they crowns or are they privileges? Are they honors that are going to be received? It just isn't clear enough to say for certain. So what do we do? Let's debate it for on and on and on and on and on and on. Okay? Folks, the Bible mentions rewards in heaven multiple times. Matthew chapter 5, Luke chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and also chapter 9. Rewards in heaven. Here's a question. Let's get away from debating things that there aren't details enough in the Bible to prove one way or another. Here's a question. Why are the rewards necessary? I mean, won't being in heaven with God be enough? Experiencing Him, His glory, the joys of heaven will be so wonderful. It's just hard to understand why extra rewards would even be needed in heaven. What is it about these rewards that would make that would make us not say, "Oh, forget it, I'll be in heaven forever. I'm okay with that." So what is it about these rewards? Also, think about this. Since our faith rests in Christ's righteousness, right? Not our own. Instead of our own righteousness, it rests in Christ's righteousness. In fact, God says all of our righteousnesses are His filthy rags. It seems strange, doesn't it, that our works merit some kind of reward in heaven? God will give rewards at the judgment seat of Christ based on our faithfulness in service to Him. And you're going to see that tonight with more than one of the crowns that we look at. The rewards are not about us. One of the things they will do is show the justice of God. Let me tell you show you what I mean by that. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God will give rewards in heaven to show His justice. He's also going to give rewards in heaven for the purpose of, I believe, fulfilling the law of sowing and reaping. If we go to Galatians chapter 6, we find these verses. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We've heard that verse before, right? Okay. It's kind of like, we're going back up to verse 7. Thank you. It's kind of like you do something bad to someone. Okay. Something bad's going to happen to you. You reap what you sow. Okay, verse 8, it says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. This makes good on His promise that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. The rewards that we gain in heaven are not like the rewards that we earn here on earth. It's not what is going to be what comes to our mind, I don't believe. Because see, we tend to think in material terms, mansions, jewels, etc., things like that. But these things are a symbolic representation of the true rewards that we're going to gain in heaven. A child wins a spelling bee. Just recently, they finished the National Scripps Spelling Bee contest. Did you hear who the winner was? There was an 8-way tie for first place. I thought they just kept going till they dropped, but it was after 11 o'clock at night, and I think they must have all been tired. But a child wins a spelling bee, not the Scripps spelling bee, because they got $50,000. Normal spelling bee, they get a trophy, and that child treasures the trophy he receives, not because of how much that trophy is worth, but because of what that trophy means, okay? Now, follow that concept there. Any rewards or honors that we gain in heaven will be precious to us because they carry the weight and meaning of our relationship to God. It's not about us, those rewards aren't. And because those rewards are going to remind us of what He did through us while we were on earth. That's what I believe is going to make those rewards so special for us. My personal belief is that the crowns are symbolic. Now, if I can just say this, let's not get caught up in minutiae. If you think those are real crowns, that's fine. That's fine. Are they symbolic? Are they literal? Are the crowns gold, silver? Do they have diamonds, emeralds, rubies, sapphires planted in them? Maybe some pearls too? The central point here is that they are rewards. That we know for sure. And they are rewards that are going to impact us for all eternity. So with that thought, let's look at what we will be rewarded for. And instead of trying to determine the details that God doesn't give us about these crowns, I want us to focus on the point of what He did tell us when He talked about the crown. So first, incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. It says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown." Okay, Paul is referencing a crown that was won after a race was over with in this day. A crown won after a race was over in that day was really just a wrapping of leaves around their head. That's all it was. There was no monetary value to it whatsoever. The crown carried with it honor that was given to the wearer of that crown. Paul points out that crown is going to perish. But the one that we get is incorruptible. It will not perish. Here's what happens sometimes. We focus on the details. We focus on the vagaries, the pontificating about what this is or that is or what this means, and we miss the point of what God was trying to tell us. What could the point be for here? Here it is. In a race, everyone runs, do they not? But not everyone wins. The one that wins is the one that has trained consistently in a foot race, right? You just talk to any Olympic athlete, the one who consistently trains. They're the ones that are up there in front. They're the ones that have remained steadfast during the race, not starting off strong, taking a break. Okay, it's time to go again. They're not going to win the race. They're the ones that win are the ones that are focused on the finish line. The incorruptible crown is given to those that stay focused. The point is that some people do what they do for honor that doesn't last. Some people will do what they do to get honor, but it's the kind of honor that doesn't last. Could be the praise of men that they do what they do for. What could also be put in here is the immediate rewards that the flesh receives when we do what we do. Have you ever done something for someone else and it just made you feel good? That's a reward, isn't it? Made you feel better. Just helping someone, helping a homeless person or volunteering for some humanitarian relief or even helping here at the church. Paul says that he runs not for the corruptible crown, the praise of men, the gratification of the flesh, but he runs for the sake of the gospel. That's his focus. That's his finish line. The incorruptible crown, the reward of honor given at the judgment seat of Christ for staying focused on why we're here on this earth. He then gives an example that of the Old Testament's leaving Egypt. You remember the mass exodus from Egypt? Moses is leading them. Most of them did not receive the reward, the promised land. Did they die and go to hell? No. Did they receive the extra blessing of the promised land? No. They didn't stay faithful. They lost their reward. Okay? Crown number two, a crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Here's another verse, Philippians 4:1. It says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. What was Paul's crown of rejoicing? Those people that his efforts had brought to Christ. Converts, if you will. Not necessarily people he led to the Lord, led them into a sinner's prayer, but the people that his efforts had something to do with them coming to Christ. This right here, folks, is another reason why I don't believe the use of the word crowns is referring to actual literal crowns. We would literally be throwing people at the feet of Jesus. Rejoicing, in that verse, it means boasting. These people were either led to Christ by Paul or through his efforts, they had grown spiritually in their walk with the Lord. Now, what's the point that could be missed in this passage about a crown? What is required to receive this crown? Investment in people's lives. We can talk about the incorruptible crown, the crown of righteousness. Is it real? Is it not real? What's it mean? We miss the point. This crown is given when we invest in people's lives. As Christians, folks, we all have at least one spiritual gift. Some have more than one. Some use their spiritual gift for the spiritual development of others, and some people don't use their spiritual gift for that. This crown is given for those who use their spiritual gift for the spiritual development of others. Paul talks about the joy of seeing these individuals in heaven. What a loss of this reward of joy when we stand in heaven and there's no one that comes up to us to say, thank you. Thank you for what you did. I know when you did it, I wasn't nice to you. I was mean to you, but thank you. Okay. Delbert, you taught enough years that you probably had some students come back to say thank you, and it just shocked you, didn't it? Right. It's like, whoa. And I've told you this before. My poor youth pastor, when I was in high school, about eight years ago, I got connected with him through someone at my last church. One of their family members was attending his church in Virginia. And then the connection was made that I was this person's pastor. And he said, Gerald's a pastor? Thank you, youth pastor Phil Bishop, for what impact you had in my life. The joy of being in heaven and people thanking us. The joy of seeing them in heaven. I'm thinking of that verse that says, provoking one another unto love and good works. Yes, it is our business. We need to do that. That's wrapped up in this crown of righteousness, aiding people in their spiritual development. It's none of my business. It's not the right thing to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, here's what Paul wrote. He said, I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything. Whoa, did you hear that? He that planted the seed, they're nothing. He that planteth, neither is he that planteth anything. Neither he that watereth. The guy that did the watering, he ain't nothing. The guy that led him in the sinner's prayer and got to put a tally mark in his book of how many people he's led to the Lord, he ain't nothing. But God gives the increase. Now, do you see that? We can focus on this crown of righteousness and get out there and work hard and try to lead as many people as we can through the sinner's prayer so we can make sure we get a crown of righteousness when we get to heaven. And it's got nothing to do with us. God gives the increase. That crown, like I mentioned in the introduction, that crown is a representation of what God did through us when we allowed Him to do that through us. Verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Number 3, a crown of life. James chapter 1 and verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Let me give you 3 words, their definitions for them in that verse. Endure, it means to stay under. To stay under. Temptation, putting to proof, or testing, if you will. Like a precious metal is tested to reveal what it's made of. And then tried means approved. Are the words passed the test. Staying under the test, being tested, passing the test. That's the 3 concepts there. Revelation chapter 2 now in verse 10 talks about the crown of life. It talks about receiving the crown of life for being a martyr. So if we, now which one is it? Paul talks about getting the crown of life for being tested, enduring, and then we get the crown of life. Revelation says you got to die to get the crown of life. You got to be martyred for your faith. Which one is it? Well, we could debate that. Or we could ask, what's the point that might be missed in this crown? Let's put this all together. In life, we are going to be tested, verses 2 and 3. If we, when tested, remain or stay under the test instead of giving up and quitting when the going gets tough, then the result is we shall be approved. We shall receive an honor from Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. How can we stay under temptation? Testing. When everything is closing in on you. What is it that saves you from losing your mind and going crazy? Anybody? There it is. She said it. God. The Holy Spirit, Christ Jesus. So we make it through these testing times because of Christ. So that reward is not really because we are so super resilient and able to endure tough times. It's when we stay close to Christ, faithful to Christ, and He's allowed to work through us and take us through these things. The reward is actually a statement about Christ, like all the other ones so far. Number 4, a crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. All Christians will receive righteousness. Okay? When we accepted Christ, we received Christ's righteousness, imputed righteousness to us. But this crown refers to a special enjoyment of righteousness that not every Christian's going to have. Why did Paul receive a crown of righteousness? Well, the verse started with the word, verse 8 started with the, what word? Henceforth. So the crown of righteousness is coming from something previous to verse 8. Let's look at verse 7. Why did he receive a crown of righteousness? He fought a good fight and kept the faith. He fought the good fight, or fought a good fight and kept the faith. He was faithful in service to the king. According to the last words of verse 8, there is a special crown for those that love his appearing. Now, that seems to be talking about the rapture, not necessarily being faithful to the service to the king. Oh, but it's the same thing. Okay? I mean, you've heard me talk about when my wife's gone at a ladies' retreat, and I'm focused on her appearing. And if I'm focused on her appearing or reappearing, you know what I'm doing? I'm staying faithful in my service to cleaning the house before she gets here. Okay? If I am looking for his appearing, I am going to stay faithful in service to him because I want to be ready when he comes. I want to have fulfilled all that he gave me to do. I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Because I'm focused on his appearing. We will keep the faith if we're focused on his appearing. What is faith? Trust. If we trust God, what do when we trust God? We obey. Trust and obey. Perfect song for us to have sung tonight. One guy said it this way, not be spiritual hobos sitting on the sidelines. Being a faithful manager or a steward of the days that God gives us from the beginning to the end. And we don't know when the end is. Number 5, last one, a crown of glory. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Now, this is another reward, a recognition for faithfulness given to pastors, and I might also include spiritual leaders of some type. Again, we start getting into details of who's going to get it and who's not going to get it. Those that have been faithful in discharging the office of pastor as outlined in the preceding verses there in 1 Peter 5. Loving the flock, it talks about. Feeding the flock and being an example to the flock. Those three things are mentioned there. Folks, these are crowns. These are the crowns. The incorruptible crown for remaining steadfast in the race. A crown of rejoicing over those that are in heaven because of our efforts. The crown of life, having endured the tests. The crown of righteousness, faithful in service. The question, I guess, to end with is, which one of these will be ours? Will we have these crowns? That's for us to decide if we even want the crowns. We're going to stop here and take some time to just have prayer with each other. Or some people move around and guys get with guys, ladies get with ladies, husbands stay with wives. It's whatever you're comfortable with. Let's go and have prayer.